James chapter 1, verse 13, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. For every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the opportunity, Lord, that you've given us to gather together. And Lord, thank you for the good preliminaries, Lord, building up to the message. Lord, it's encouragement to sing together, the good special, the choir number. Lord, an opportunity to give our tithes and offerings. And then, Lord, an opportunity to hear from our missionaries. We do pray especially for the Todds tonight and ask God that you would lift them up, Lord, and give them some encouragement. Lord, in the midst of defeats, it's a wonderful thing, dear God, just to see the miraculous, a reminder of your presence, Lord, of your power and your pleasure in what they're doing. And so, Lord, I pray, dear God, that you'd let them see something special in these days, dear God. Maybe just an unusual conversion or something where they see some provision come that is unexpected, or, Lord, whatever it would be, dear God, we pray, please, that you'd encourage them. Thank you for the opportunity to serve you, Lord. And I pray, Lord, as we continue to climb this mountain, dear God, of overcoming temptation, that you'd help us, Lord, to learn the Bible principles that will make us successful and victorious in our Christian life. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. I'm not going to review very much, just a little, and then we'll go right into the second ingredient. In James chapter 1, we see that there's two necessary ingredients for a temptation to occur. James 1:14, but every man is tempted when, okay, so when is he tempted? When, number one, he is drawn away of his own lust, number two, and enticed. And so it's not a sin yet to desire the wrong thing. Watch this. It's not a sin yet. You say, what do you mean it's not a sin yet to desire the wrong thing? Well, let's read on down. Every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And when sin it is finished, bringeth forth death. And I'm going to show you a story tonight. And you're going to say, well, wait a minute. She sinned? No, she didn't sin. It's not a sin to desire the wrong thing, but it is a sin to act upon that desire. And so we're all going to have to fight wrong desires. And so two things are necessary, two necessary ingredients, our own lust or desire to do wrong. And we talked about this last week. Every one of us, the first person we have to deal with is in this matter of living the successful Christian life is our own self. Now look right up here and let me help you with this, because I despise this modern day psychology that every time we do wrong, they've got to sit down, put you in a room, lay you on a couch, and explain to you that if your daddy would have said, I love you more, then you know what, you wouldn't be addicted to crack cocaine. Or if your mom had not fed you peas, and that's what caused you to be a serial killer, is the fact that she fed you peas, and that of course leads to mass murder in most countries in most instances. And my great-great-great-great-great-grandmother was a riverboat gambler, and so it's just in my DNA, and I can't help it. You know, folks, listen to me. That's hogwash. That's hogwash. The honest truth is you are responsible for yourself. I'm responsible for myself. And I'm responsible to culture and to ask God to help me to develop the right desires in my heart. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. The more you delight yourself in God, I mean, you don't read the Bible because you have to. You read the Bible because you want to. You don't come to church because you have to. You come to church because you want to. You don't pray because you have to. You pray because you want to. When God and his word and his will becomes your delight, it's amazing how God reworks the desires of your heart, and you start really desiring and wanting the right things. If you have and possess, you walk around, martyr's mentality, poor me, made to go to church, I'm missing out on all this stuff, all the cool stuff in the world. You walk around like that, honestly, look at me, you're easy pickings for the devil. I mean, it's not even a contest, okay? He doesn't have to send much of an enticer at all, and boom, next thing you know, you're in trouble. You can't stand against anything. You can't stand against any temptation. You know what's wrong? Your heart's wrong. Now, I mean that. Listen to me. You got to deal with you. You got to deal with you first. You got to be honest enough to deal with yourself. I mean, honest enough to go with God and say, God, my heart's just a mess. The honest truth, I do have secret longings for the world and what the world offers. And God, I don't want to be like that. And so, God, please help me. I mean, listen, if you don't want to live a victorious Christian life, you're not going to live a victorious Christian life. And so the first person we have to deal with is us. Now I'm going to talk about the second ingredient. The first one is our own lust or desire to do wrong. And number two, an enticer. Now, the next several sessions that we have is going to revolve around this idea of the enticer. Listen to me, folks. I don't care how good you feel like you're doing. Preacher, I feel like I've got, for the most part, the right desires. You still are commanded in the Scripture to avoid and to stay away from enticers. Because, see, an enticer may come to somebody that's really a pretty good Christian. I mean, a pretty good kid. But if you hang around that constant, consistent voice that's always trying to lure you into doing the wrong things, the best of the best of the best Christians, if they hang around that very long, that enticer, the devil will use them to plant the seeds of secret desire and wondering in your heart, curiosity in your heart about the things of the world. And so no matter where you're at, folks, keep the second ingredient away. Both of these ingredients must be present for temptation to occur. And so we've looked last week at our own lust and desire and what we can do about that. Tonight, I want to focus in on the enticer. So, preacher, if there's two things that are necessary for temptation to occur, my own lust and desire to do wrong and an enticer, what's the greatest way to avoid temptation? Eliminate the two necessary ingredients. Desire the right things, Psalm 37:4 I just quoted. And number two, identify and avoid enticers. Entice. Preacher, what do you mean? What is an enticer? What is an enticer? An enticer is any person who uses words. Now, this is very important. Words to convince you that the wrong you want to do is okay to do. Go to Colossians chapter 2, and I'm going to ask you to use your Bibles. I want you to see some verses tonight. I read a lot. I do that from the pulpit, especially when I'm trying to get in a lot of Scripture in a timed manner. But tonight I want you to look at a few verses because I want the Word of God to convince you. Colossians chapter 2, verse 4. What is the weapon of the enticer? The weapon of the enticer is words. Okay, words. Now, Colossians chapter 2, look at verse 4. Colossians 2:4. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you, trick you, with what? Enticing words. Now stay with me here. The word found in the Hebrew that is translated entice means to make roomy, to open, to enlarge. Now watch this. You say, preacher, that don't make a lot of sense. Let me explain it to you. The enticer encourages you to be more open-minded, to make roomy, to open, to enlarge, to make room in your mind to at least consider the possibility of an action. They help enlarge your desire and make the possibility more alluring and appealing. They are persuasive, deceptive voices that tells you that it is okay to go ahead and give in to what you want to do that you know down deep is wrong. So here you have something secretly that you have a desire to do that you know you shouldn't do. Here comes somebody, and the next thing you know, they're talking to you about how there isn't anything really wrong with that. The Bible don't really teach against it. And I've read the Bible too, and I go to church, and there's good Christians that do it, and blah, 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 blah. And next thing you know, all of a sudden, you begin to enlarge in your mind, make room for the possibility that what God has condemned in the Scriptures maybe isn't all that bad or isn't really wrong at all. And so, folks, watch this. An enticer is someone who comes to you and encourages you and tries to persuade you to do what you know down deep you should not do. Now, what do they use, preacher? They use words, okay? If they used force, they wouldn't be an enticer. They're not going to pull out a gun and stick it to your head, okay? They're going to just talk to you. Words is what they use. They want to talk you into doing something that is displeasing to the Lord. Now, this is important. Watch this. Listen to me. Think about this matter of words. With the advancement of technology today, think of all the ways an enticer has to get their words to you. Now, the whole battlefield has changed because of technology. Okay, if my dad didn't want me to hang around the wrong crowd, he just put me in my room. He just grounded me. Go sit in your room. And I sat in my room and looked at the four walls and flipped a coin and there wasn't any. You know what? You can be sitting in your room with a smartphone and be talking to an enticer. I mean, parents, watch this. I know that it's happened. You can be sitting at your table with your kids, sitting at the table with you, enjoying a family meal together, and on their lap they're doing this number and they're talking to an enticer. Okay, now think about this, words. Now think about what the devil's done. He's created a situation where words can get to our young people and to other people very easily. Words come across the screen of the computer. Words come across in emails. Words come across in all of the other things that I'm not going to understand, the tweets and the Instagram and all of the other things. The words are coming, and these enticers are trying to get their words to you. It has become increasingly difficult for parents and other authority figures to protect young people. Please listen to me, to protect you from the words of enticers. Now, I want to talk to you for a minute. Young people, listen to me. It has become more and more your responsibility to monitor the words of those around you and be on the alert for an enticer. Okay? Now, and then later, not tonight, but later on, I'm going to teach you the 10 catchphrases of the enticer. I will, if you'll listen to that lesson when we teach it, I will tell you the 10 things that you'll hear an enticer say, and if you'll listen to them and identify them, and I get them from the scripture, when you hear those things, it ought to trigger enticer. And you know what? You won't be able to plead ignorance if you're here. But the enticer always uses words. Now go back to Deuteronomy chapter number 13. Deuteronomy chapter number 13. Boy, important portion of scripture dealing with the enticers. This is part of the Old Testament law. Please listen to how God literally passed laws to help protect his people against enticers. Okay, Deuteronomy chapter number 13 and verse number 6. Deuteronomy chapter 13 and verse number 6. So number one, an enticer, and the Bible definition of enticer is someone that comes to you to make room or to open or to enlarge or to make more persuasive or appealing or alluring a sin, and they use words. Number two, they use words. Number three, the enticer works in secret. The enticer works in secret. Look at Deuteronomy 13, verse 6. If thy brother, the son of thy mother or thy father, it sounds like family members can be enticers. Okay, your brother or your sister can be enticer. Watch this, your mom or dad can be an enticer. Hey, moms and dads, your kids can be enticers. All right, this is what it's saying. If thy brother, the son of thy mother, or thy son, or thy daughter, or the wife of thy bosom. Oh, please, ladies, never be it said that you helped entice your husband out of the will of God, entice your husband to be involved in things that he should not be involved in. It could be a wife. It could be a husband. Or, watch this, or the wife of thy bosom, or thy friend. You know what? Somebody is not truly a friend if they're an enticer. Now stay with me. The friend which is as thy own soul. Okay, your BFF. If you're not careful, they can be an enticer. All right? Now notice what it says here. Which is as thy own soul, entice thee how? Now listen to me, folks, watch this. The enticer works outside of the earshot of authority. An enticer always works outside of the earshot of authority. That's why your technology and your devices are so dangerous. Because what they're going to try to do is, listen, I have never been standing at the back door of the church right there talking to a teenager and had an enticer walk up right in front of me and try to entice a kid to do wrong. Never. No, they're waiting down at the edge of the parking lot. They're waiting down on the ramp. They're waiting to kind of pull you over into the shadows. Why don't they just stand in front of your parents and have that discussion? Why are they always trying to get you off to the side somewhere? Why has everything got to be so secret? Okay, an enticer works outside of the earshot of authority. They will usually want to talk to you alone. An enticer sneaks behind your parents' back, away from the watchful eyes of spiritual authorities. They say things like this: don't tell your mom, but, or don't tell the teacher, or, you know, don't tell pastor. Hey, don't let your dad know, but I got something. All right, watch this. Beware of those who try to engage you in, watch this, a secret confidential relationship. If they are trying to develop with you a secret, confidential relationship outside of the transparency of the parents, they're an enticer. They're an enticer, okay? And so an enticer works in secret. You say, preacher, who are potential enticers? Wouldn't it be easier if you just told me who they were? Well, Deuteronomy 13:6, we just read this. Your inner circle, your family and close friends can be enticers. Sad to say, but sometimes the people we're the closest to can give us advice that isn't always biblical. Not everyone comes from a Christian family. Even Christians can sometimes get backslidden. Be careful you do not allow your family and friends to entice you to do something displeasing to the Lord. I'll read some verses. Proverbs 16:29, a neighbor can be a potential enticer. A violent man enticeth his neighbor and leadeth him into the way that is not good. Be careful who lives in your neighborhood. Be careful, parents, who your kids are playing with in your neighborhood. All right, a boyfriend or a girlfriend, Exodus 22:16. If a man entice a maid that is not betrothed and lie with her, he shall surely endow her to be his wife. What happened? He got sweet on her, and next thing you know, he's trying to entice her. Often when the devil can't entice a good young people, any young person any other way, he'll send someone into their life that will show them some romantic attention. Be careful that you do not let your guard down. Okay, because that's how enticers work. Colossians 2:4 said this, but this I say, lest any man should beguile you. You know what that teaches me? Anyone can become an enticer. So you can't let your guard down anywhere. Okay, you can't let your guard down anywhere. What the Bible's telling us is that any man has the potential to be an enticer. This truth requires us to ask ourselves two important questions. Is there someone in my life who has become an enticer, who the devil is sitting now, that wants a secret, confidential relationship with me? Well, why is it they want to send these, use the technology that your parents don't know about? By the way, why do you want to use it? Okay? Is there someone in your life who is an enticer? Here's a bigger question. Has the devil been using you as an enticer? Has the devil used you as an enticer to try to help get a good young person off the right path? Okay, now, so here's the basic introduction, all right? An enticer is someone who comes to you, they use words, and they try to make sin more alluring and okay and talk it up and it's not so bad and you know what, these rules are ridiculous and your parents are old fogies and the preacher's out of date and they just don't understand. And no parents have those kind of rules, not in the real world. And they use words. They do it in secret. They sneak around the edges. They try to go around the back of authority. And you know what? The honest truth is, you'd be surprised sometimes the people in this church that have been used of the devil as enticers. And so you cannot let your guard down. You got to be very careful. All right, preacher, it would help me if we could look at some Bible examples. There's all kinds of Bible examples of enticers. Let's go to Genesis chapter 3 and find out the first enticement situation and see, let's just see if everything that we've learned so far holds up. All right, let's review. The two ingredients of a temptation is, number one, a wrong desire. Number two, an enticer to tell you that's okay to do wrong. Okay, remember, an enticer uses words. He works in secret. An enticer can be anyone. And now let's look at some Bible examples of that. Genesis chapter 3, let's begin reading in verse number 1, Genesis 3:1. Now the serpent was more subtile than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. Now folks, in this instance, we do not have another human being involved. It's a direct attack of Satan, and Satan is the enticer. Okay, sometimes folks, you're going to be completely by yourself, and yet there is going to be a voice that's enticing you, trying to make it roomy in your mind, enlarging in your mind that it's okay to do something wrong and nobody else is around. Folks, sometimes we're just under demonic oppression, demonic attack, satanic attack. That's why you need to put on the armor of God. That's why you have that helmet of salvation to protect your mind, sword of the Spirit to fight back with. But the devil came to Eve. Now, stay with me here. Watch this. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. Sounds like to me somebody's lying. For God doth know that in the day, oh, you're not going to die. You're not going to. It sounds like the tone of an enticer. Oh, that's not true. Hath God really? Did that what really what God said? Does the Bible really say that? And that's how an enticer talks. For God doth know that in the day ye eat, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. You don't know what you're missing. You see, by not eating, you are denying your... See, God knows he's actually withholding something good from you. I mean, if you just do this, you will be able to see things in a new way. I mean, you'd be like a God. Listen, you don't need God telling you what's right and wrong. Why don't you decide for yourself what is right for wrong? What? Mommy making your rules? Daddy making your rules? You can't think for yourself? That's an enticer, folks. That's an enticer. It sounds like the devil to me. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and also gave unto her husband with her, and he did eat. The eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig trees together and made themselves aprons. Watch this, folks. And lust, when it is conceived, bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, brought forth. For by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. Why? Because an enticer came. Now watch this. Say, wait a minute, preacher. You said there was two ingredients necessary. I did. First of all, a wrong desire. By the way, you can have a wrong desire, and that is not a sin. Say, well, if Eve desired something wrong, then she'd sin. I thought that this was before sin. No, the Bible says that in James. In fact, let me go back there because I want to establish this. Watch this. I'm not okaying you having a wrong desire. I'm saying that a wrong desire leads to sin, but a wrong desire is not sin. Because every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Listen, folks, having the wrong desires is not sinful, but it sets you up as an easy target to sin. Now stay with me here. Watch this. Did Eve have some wrong desires? Absolutely. You say, preacher, I mean, this is before sin. I thought the world was perfect. Yes, and she was considering something and looking at something and desiring something that God had forbid. A wrong desire is not sin. It's an ingredient of temptation that can lead to sin. Even in Eden, prior to the fall of man, there was a rule. Here's the rule given by God to Adam, given by God to Adam, and then Adam to Eve. And by the way, that's how God worked. God created man first, gave him a job, and gave him the rules of the garden, then brought him a helpmeet later. So you know what? Watch this, young people. You know who God's going to give your rules to and to your life? You're going to give it to your authority. You're going to give it to your parents. Wives is going to give it to your husband. Amen. Amen. Why did we get an amen on parents, but we didn't get much of an amen on that? Because women's lib have changed your thinking. Okay, God set the man up as the protector. He was set up, he was given a job, he was given the rules, and he was given the protection of the garden. Okay, not just to dress it, but to keep it. Look at that word. That's literally, he's the security team. He's the one supposed to be watching. He's the one supposed to be protecting. And so he's been given a job to do, to dress the garden. He's been given protection responsibility, and he's been given the rules. And so God didn't go to Eve and give her the rules. God gave the rules to Adam, and Adam conveyed them to Eve. And God's not going to come to you kids and give you the rules for your house. He's going to give them to your parents, and you're supposed to obey your parents. All right? Now stay with me here. Watch this. I want to ask you, say, preacher, I don't know if I understand. I don't know if I see that. You're saying that Eve had a wrong desire. Let me ask you a couple questions. Why was Eve standing by the only tree she was not allowed to eat of? Why is she standing there? Nothing else to do? I mean, there wasn't chocolate chip cookies to bake? Come on now. Wasn't an apple pie to make? I mean, come on. All right. Now think about this. Watch this. What is she standing there for? Why is she standing there? Why is she looking at that? By the way, why are you standing near something that you shouldn't have? Why do you keep looking at it? Why do you keep pausing about it? Why do you keep thinking about it? Why do you keep pondering it all the time? All right, now let me show you something else. When the devil asked and said, hath God said? Yea, hath God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden. Notice what her answer was. Verse 2 and 3, the woman said, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. That's true. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God said, ye shall not eat of it. That's true. Neither shall you touch it. God didn't say that. He didn't say that. Now, watch this. I like using this illustration. This happened years ago. But I got the word back on this. There was a young lady going to our Christian school. And then you wouldn't know who she is, so just stop. All right? Because you won't even be listening to the rest of it while you're trying to think about, if I listen to this story, maybe I can figure out who it is. Because you're Blessed Hope people, and that's what you do. Amen? But so this girl, I got a report back. And somebody came to this girl that didn't go to our Christian school and said, I hear that the guys and girls at your school aren't even allowed to hold hands or touch at all. And by the way, amen, that's exactly right. Good for a man not to touch a woman. So what the Bible says, he that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, it is to him it is in sin. And so if you know that something's good to do or not good to do and you do it anyway, to you it's sin. And so, yeah, we got a rule. Sorry, you're not going to walk in Blessed Hope Baptist School and guys and girls hanging all over themselves out in the hallway or holding hands. It's just no, absolutely not, no, okay? But this is what her answer was to the person asked her about the rule. She said this, she said, no, we're not allowed to touch. We're not even allowed to look at each other. Now, I promise you, if you take the handbook of Blessed Hope Baptist School and you look at it, there is no rule that says a guy cannot look at a girl, a girl cannot look at a guy, although looking at these guys, I'm not sure why the girls would want to look at any of them. But we usually don't have to make the rule because... Now, stay with me here. Watch this. Stay with me. What was that girl really saying when she answered that way? You know what she was saying? I got a problem with that rule. I don't like this rule. Okay? She exaggerated the severity of the rule to make it sound unreasonable. And that's what happens with people talking about this church all the time. They don't take just where we stand. They then embellish it and exaggerate it to make us sound like we're crazy people. It happens all the time. It happens sometimes within our own church. You know why? Come on, because you got a problem there. Because you got a secret desire. Okay, so when Eve says, ye shall not touch it, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch. This is what God said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. God did not say that. But you know what that reveals to me? She had a problem with the rule. Okay, I'm not holding Eve guiltless here, folks. She's hanging around a place she shouldn't hang. She's looking at something she shouldn't look at. And why is she there? Okay? And by the way, let me ask you this. Let's see if all the other things. Did the devil take his pitchfork, if he has one, and threaten to kill her if she didn't eat? Did he have a gun? What did he use? All he had, listen, I want to help you. Please listen to me. Come on, folks. We can't stand up to words. We can't deal with some words. Somebody says something, a little bit of a sarcastic tone, and all of a sudden we just freak out and we just do wrong because, my goodness sakes. If you can't stand up to words, you're pretty weak. If all it takes to push you over the edge is somebody making some little smart aleck caustic remark about a rule or something, and next thing you know, you got a bad attitude about it, you're pretty weak. Nobody made you do anything. The devil walked up and started talking smack about God, and next thing you know, she's got the fruit in her mouth chewing on it. Really? After all God's given you, after all God's done for you, you're going to throw away the perfection of Eden because you got a problem with a rule, and an enticer came. See, the devil, I wonder how many other days the devil watched as she kind of stopped and kind of looked at that. And Adam says, you coming? Yeah, in a minute. Okay? We said that they use words. We said that they work in secret behind the back of authority. Who was the authority? Was it Eve, the authority in the Garden of Eden? Who was given a job? Who was given protection, responsibility, and who was given the rules? So why didn't the devil show up when Adam was standing there with Eve? Same reason an enticer don't come to you when mom and dad's standing there. Or when I'm standing there. Or when Brother Gordon's standing with earshot. Or when there's some other good responsible adults not standing within earshot. You know what? The devil bought his time. Every single thing that happened here falls exactly into the Bible principles of an enticer situation. So what ended up happening? Watch this. Here it is. Eve had a wrong desire. Satan is the enticer. The enticer worked in secret. The enticer used words. Wrong desire plus enticement.
led to temptation, which led to sin, which led to death. Wherefore is by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Judges 16. I'm hurrying. I want to take you to a couple of these. We'll finish it up next week. Let's go over to Judges chapter number 16. Are there other examples in the Bible of an enticer situation? Absolutely. Absolutely. Hey, I'm going to ask you again. I'm going to stop and ask these two questions. Has an enticer getting to you? Is already the Holy Spirit, if you'll listen to him, say, hey, this person, this young man, this young lady, she is that person. She is the one using the words. She's the one that's targeted you. Okay, watch this. Are you an enticer? Are you the one God, the devil's using to be an enticer here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church? You better listen to the Holy Spirit of God. Judges chapter 16, are you there? Look, if you will, we got a man by the name of Samson. Judges chapter number 16. Look, if you will, in verse number 4. Judges 16, verse 4. And it came to pass afterwards that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. And the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and said unto her, what?
Entice him.
Isn't that interesting? Why are we wanting to change the King James Bible? You know what? King James Bible, you know what it does? It allows you to do word studies. And if the words haven't been changed and you follow the word studies, it takes you to everything you need to know about a certain subject. Entice him and see wherein his great strength lieth, and by what means we may prevail against him, that we may bind him to afflict him, and we will give thee, every one of us, 1,100 pieces of silver. And Delilah said to Samson, tell me, I pray thee, wherein thy great strength lieth, and wherewith thou mightest be bound to afflict thee. Now, I'm going to just tell you this. Guys, when you're in love, you're stupid. You get real stupid if you fall in love with the wrong person. You get real stupid. I've watched young people, young ladies fall in love with somebody they shouldn't, and all of a sudden, you know what God says doesn't matter, what mom and dad says doesn't matter, what the preacher said doesn't matter. You know what, all that matters is whatever that person, they can't see it. It's plain as day. Everybody else can see it, but they can't see it because they're in love. And they're, listen, Samson is so stupid here. Did you see what she asked him? Tell me, I pray thee, wherein thy great strength lieth. And then she tells him why. And wherewith thou mightest be bound to afflict thee. Honey, sweetie, why are you so strong? I want to know why you're so strong. And the reason I want to not know is so that we can bind you and afflict you. And dummy here, come on now. You better listen, come on. I don't know if love's blind. I know this, love's stupid. A lot of times love is stupid. And so Samson has a wrong desire. By the way, it's chronicled all through the story of Samson. Samson's desire for the wrong type of woman is well documented in the Word of God. It starts with the woman of Timnath in chapter 14 of 1 Samuel, then the harlot of Gaza in 1 Samuel 16, and finally Delilah of Sorek in 1 Samuel chapter 16. And I think those are actually in Judges. Sorry about that. All of those are in Judges. Now watch this. When Satan finds out Samson's besetting sin that he refuses to deal with, his mom tried to deal with him about it. His dad tried to deal with him about it. Read the story. But you know what? Get her for me because I want her. He wouldn't listen to mom, wouldn't listen to dad. You know what? Satan says, got him. Got him. So Satan has a wrong desire. Delilah is the enticer. Delilah did not love Samson. She was offered a fortune in gold to find out from him the secret of his strength. She used him. She used him to get what she wanted. That's all she did. All right. Did the enticer work in secret? Absolutely. The entire episode of enticement plays out privately between the two of them with the Philistine soldiers lying in wait. Okay. Does the enticer, preacher, use words? Well, let's go down and let's find out. Look at verse number 15. And she said unto him, how canst thou say I love thee when thine heart is not with me? Thou hast mocked me these three times. Remember, he was playing around with her for a while. By the way, you keep playing with fire. See, Samson thought, oh, I know what she's doing, but I got this situation under control. I'm just going to play some game. You go ahead and play with sin. You go ahead and hang around an enticer. You go ahead and play the game. You know what? You're going to think you're in control, and then pretty soon you're not going to be in control. Okay, now watch this. So she goes on. Can you hear her? How canst thou say I love thee when thine heart is not with me? Thou hast mocked me these three times. Hast not told me wherein thy great strength lieth. And it came to pass, watch this, when she pressed him daily with her, what? And urged him. You know what that is? That's an enticer. Enticer. So that his soul was vexed unto death, that he told her all his heart and said unto her, there hath not come a razor upon mine head, for I have been a Nazarite to God from my mother's womb. Sad, sad, sad. What in the world? Well, preacher, does it play out? Wrong desire plus enticement. Does it lead to temptation, which leads to sin and leads to death? Yep. Yep. Next thing you know, what happens? Well, the Philistines come. Verse 21. They took him. They put out his eyes. Brought him down to Gaza, bound him with fetters of brass, and he did grind in the prison house. Howbeit the hair of his head began to grow after he was shaven. Watch this, folks. Listen, you know, yeah, I know you're strong, you're young, you're Superman, got it. Okay, you can play around with sin, you're never going to get burnt, you got it under control, you can hang with the wrong crowd. No, you're going to be bound and blind and grinding in a mill. You're going to grind your life away one of these days. You know why? Because you didn't listen to the preacher tonight. And you won't listen to a Christian mama. You won't listen to your God-given Christian dad. You won't listen to the Word of God. You know, you're smarter than everybody. Okay, go ahead. I mean, Samson, he was a weakling. You're stronger than Samson. Now, you better listen to me, because I'm going to tell you something. Life is a long time, and the consequences of sin last a long time. And you know what? How many times is he, can you see him? He's grinding that, pushing that. This is what they use oxen for. And they've got him chained to a mill, grinding away. Can you see him grinding away? He's blind. He's bound. But you know what? He wanted what he wanted. Well, you wanted it. You got it. You got it. Blind, battered, belittled. God allows Samson one last victory against his enemies. By the way, a sad end. One can only wonder what great things he would have accomplished had he learned to overcome temptation. What if mom and dad would have come to him and said, listen, tell me there's not a young lady of the children of Israel? Then he would have said, Mom, Dad, you're right. You know what? Listen, I've watched young men, you listen to me right up here on the front row. Don't you get a root of bitterness in your heart concerning the rules your parents have and the rules this church teaches, the biblical rules about courtship. Don't you get a bitterness in your heart. You get a stubborn streak in you and decide, I don't care what anybody says. I don't care what they say. I'm going to get me a girlfriend. I'm going to do it my way. I'm going to do it the world's way. You get a bitterness in your heart. You are a easy target for the devil. You don't think the devil hears what you guys say amongst yourself? Girls, you don't think what the devil hears you mumbling about, murmuring about? I can't believe we don't. You don't think he hears that? You better listen. You better listen. So what happens? What's the end of this story? Samson took hold of the two middle pillars upon the house, upon which the house stood, on which it was borne up of the one, with his right hand, and of the other his left. And Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. And he bowed himself with all his might, and the house fell upon the lords and upon all the people that were therein. So the dead which he slew at his death were more than that which he slew in his life. For the wages of sin is death. His wrong desire combined with an enticement led to sin, and sin led to death. By the way, where's Delilah in all this? She's going along her happy life till she meets God. And the very person that you're so bent on, you're so bent on pleasing that you can't say no to, when you're grinding later on, they're going to forget your name. They're going to not know who you are. They're going to hear a rumor later on that the house came crashing down on you, and they're going to laugh and say, what a fool. I told him what I was going to do, and he was still stupid enough to tell me. They're going to laugh and mock at you in the end. Those you think are your friends are going to laugh and mock at you when you're reduced to nothing. Are there more examples? Go to 2 Samuel chapter 13. We'll cover one more, and then we'll cover some next week. 2 Samuel chapter 13. 2 Samuel chapter 13. There's a man by the name of Amnon. 2 Samuel chapter 13. I know there's children here, and because of that, I promise you I'll be very careful, but I need you to listen to me. 2 Samuel chapter number 13. Notice what it says. Verse number 1, it came to pass after this that Absalom, the son of David, had a fair sister whose name was Tamar, and Amnon, the son of David, loved her. And Amnon was so vexed that he fell sick for his sister Tamar. This is actually a half-sister, for she was a virgin, and Amnon thought it hard for him to do anything to her, even though he had a wrong desire. You know what? He couldn't bring himself to do the wrong thing. So he's got a wrong desire, correct? All right, shouldn't be lusting after his half-sister, correct? Okay, so he has the wrong desire. Now, what's the second ingredient? What else is needed for a temptation to occur? Ta-da! Look at verse 3. But Amnon had a what? Hey, stop introducing me to your friends. They're not your friends. Next time, why don't you bring him to church? Say, hey, preacher, would you come over and meet my enticer? This is the stupid person I'm going to throw my whole life away for. I just thought you'd like to meet him. Amnon had a friend who wasn't a friend, whose name was Jonadab, the son of somebody, David's brother. And Jonadab was a very what? Yeah, these enticer folks, they're deceitful. They're slick. They know the right things to say. You see, listen, young lady, I want to help you. Girls, let me talk to you a minute. Okay, the guy that's going to ruin you, he's ruined other girls. And after he's done with you, he'll go ruin some more. He told all of them that you're the only one he's ever going to love. And by the way, he told the other ones that too. And he'll tell the next ones that. But you're a dummy. Okay, you got a wrong desire. You won't listen to mom. Won't want to follow the rules. Okay, wouldn't read the seven laws of courtship if someone gave you $1 million. Laugh and mock. I know, because you're brilliant. Go ahead. I mean, you're the first young lady that thought they were smarter than the Bible and smarter than the preacher and smarter. You're the first one. Doggone, you are the first one. And it's going to work out for you. You're not going to crash and burn like every other idiot that's done it. You're going to prove, finally, that you know what? You can go against the Bible and still come out victorious in this life. You're going to be the one that proves. No, you're not. Listen to me. I love you enough to look you in your God-given eyeball and tell you, you're not going to do that. It's not going to work out. And life's a long time. Life's a long time, all right? Okay, well, I'm going to do what I want. Then do it. Okay, then do it. But you're not going to do it without me looking you and telling you, don't do it. You know what? The person that's trying to do wrong is not your friend. This preacher's your friend. Your mom's your friend. Listen to your mom. Listen to your Sunday school teacher. Listen to the godly people in your life. Stop getting your advice from backsliders and pretenders. Okay, Amnon had a wrong desire, an unholy desire for his stepsister. Wickedness that he cultivated in his heart is clearly condemned in the scriptures. Leviticus 20, verse 17, if a man take his sister, his father's daughter, or his father's daughter, and I won't read all of it, but there in the verse it's very plain that it is a wicked thing, and they shall be cut off in the sight of their people. All right, he shall bear his iniquity. You can read the entire verse. I'm trying to be careful. Leviticus 20, 17. The devil will convince a young person that harboring a secret lust is not hurting anyone. Lie! But every sin ever committed first started in your heart. How important is it for every young person to gain victory in their private thought life? 2 Corinthians 10, 5. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So Amnon has a wrong desire. Jonadab is the enticers. Amnon's conscience kept him from acting upon this unholy lust until Jonadab entered the picture. Let me read what he said to him. Verse 4, and he said unto him, why art thou, being the king's son, lean from day to day? Wilt thou not tell me? And Amnon said unto him, I love Tamar, my brother Absalom's sister. And Jonadab said unto him, and by the way, he gives him a wicked, evil plan. Lay down in your bed and act like you're sick, and I'll get them to send Tamar to take care of you, and then you know what? You can commit your wicked sin when you have her alone. I mean, listen, you know what that's called? An enticer. Here's a guy that had a wrong desire but had enough decency to say, I can't do that, until somebody come and said, yes, you can. You're the king's son. You know what he said? Hey, why are you denying yourself? You're somebody in a position of authority. I mean, you ought to be. Listen, you're the exception to the rule. That might be Leviticus chapter 20 thing might be for the peons. But you're the king's son. I mean, you'll get by with it. Matter of fact, let me just tell you how easy it would be. And he begins to just lay out these little scenarios. Well, I can't go to that because my mom and dad said no. Your mom and dad said what? Have you ever thought about this? It would be easy for you to get there. Do they ever come to your room after you go to bed at night? What would be the big deal about just pretending you're asleep and then about 2 o'clock in the morning just slipping out your window? Before a kid ever did that, somebody suggested it to him. Somebody bragged about doing it themselves. You know what? I did that for years. My mom and dad never found out. I got by with it. You can get by with it. No, you can't. Because the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also. But if, listen, enticers will come and try to show you, listen, the thing that you're hesitating doing, because good night, at least you got a conscience, I can show you how easy it would be, and you know what? You won't get caught, and things will work out, and it'll be fine. Now watch this, folks. Stay with me. Amnon has a wrong desire. Jonadab, the enticer, he's a classic example of an enticer. He comes to him in pretense as a friend. And then he uses words. He did it secretly. You think Jonadab is having this discussion when King David's in the room? So he comes to him privately, secretly. He uses words. Folks, listen, he didn't take a gun. He didn't make him do anything. He just started saying, think about how easy it would be. Let me just talk to you through this. This is the plan I would use. And next thing you know, wrong desire plus enticement leads to a temptation. A temptation leads to sin, and sin leads to death. It does? Yeah. Go to 2 Samuel 13. Now Absalom had commanded his servant, saying, mark you now when Amnon's heart is merry with wine, and when I say unto you, smite Amnon, then kill him. Fear not, for I have commanded you, be courageous, be valiant. And the servants of Absalom did unto Amnon as Absalom had commanded. There came a day where it seemed like for a long time he got by with this. Buddy, there was a day when, you know what, the knives went deep. Then the man wallowed in his own blood. And you know what, the devil's over in the corner laughing because another life has been destroyed. You know why? Because they ignored the plain teaching of Scripture. Look up here, we're going to stop. Next week, I'll tell you, we're going to pick up Wednesday night. I've got a couple more examples of people who failed in this matter. But can I say this? Aren't you glad there's also some biblical examples of people who faced temptation and came out of it victorious? And we're going to study that this coming, Lord willing, this coming Wednesday night. Now stay with me, folks. Listen to me. I'm going to close this thing. I want you to, before you put your shoes on, ladies, before you put your Bibles away, just look up here, stop fidgeting, and listen to me, all right? Watch this. You better consider this. It's not rocket science. You better search your own hearts. What are you desiring that God doesn't want you to have? What are you wanting to do that God doesn't want you to do? What are you not wanting to do that He does want you to do? What are you fighting against in your heart? The devil's good at what he does. He sees where you stop. He sees where you linger. He didn't read Eve's mind, but he saw her stop and look at the tree for a little too long. Okay, watch this. What person has come to you and got to you with words, and they're having an effect and an influence on the way you're thinking about this sin? All right? Isn't it true that they're coming to you in secret? That they're sneaking around behind the backs of authority members in your life, the people that God has placed over you to protect you? You know, the secret cell phone? The little device mom and dad doesn't know you have? Secret account on an email site, gentlemen? Some hidden websites in some folder that your wife will never find, but God knows is there. The conversation you're having with somebody on the internet, the chat room that you're visiting, ladies, while your husband's out working to pay for the house that you're living in, and putting food in your mouth, but you're going to get on these chat sites and play around with fire because you can handle it. Somebody's got to you with words. Come on, somebody's got to you with words. Who is it that you tolerate the mockery from? That you tolerate them undermining your convictions and your standards and the biblical principles upon which you've been trained? Who's nibbling away at the edges? Who is it? Listen to me, I'm going to teach you. Well, we're going to get there finally, but I'm going to teach you what you need to do with that person. But I can just give you this much. Proverbs 1:10 says, my son, when sinners entice thee, consent thou not. You better cut some people out of your life. I mean, you better lose some numbers off your cell phone. You better delete some accounts. You better have the guts when somebody comes to you, say, stop. You know what? Any conversation we have from now on, we need to have in front of my parents. And if you're not comfortable with this rearrangement, then I'm not, or this new arrangement, I'm not comfortable with our relationship, okay? So anything you say to me, I'm just going to tell you right now, I'm going to go tell the preacher. By the way, that shouldn't bother any of you if you're not an enticer. You should be able to say, that's fine. I wouldn't say anything to you. I wouldn't say in front of the preacher anyway. I mean, good night. Let's go talk to him right now. I'm good. That's a friend, by the way. That's a friend. That's a real friend. Somebody's got that. Some of you are enticers. You better listen. You better listen to the Holy Spirit of God if he's convicting you of this sin. It's one thing to destroy your own life. Well, that's stupid. But when you destroy somebody else's life or contribute to destruction of a brother or a sister or a family member or a friend or another young person in this church, that's evil. You don't have to believe what I say, but you go to the book of Proverbs and just read every verse that uses the word evil in it and tell me where God forgives evil and where God does not recompense evil and where God does not judge evil. God basically has this attitude. If you sin and you sin against yourself, I'll forgive you. If you purposely set out to destroy other people, I will mark you and I will destroy you. You read it. Well, preacher, I just think that God... I said read it. See, the problem is you don't want to base what you believe on the scriptures. I've done the study. I know what I'm talking about. Study it out. You cross into that arena, you put yourselves in the crosshairs of God's judgment. Say, I'm getting by with it. Ha ha. No, you're not. There is a suddenly waiting for you down the road somewhere. He that being often reproved, hardeneth his heart, shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Suddenly, there's a suddenly waiting for you down the road somewhere. Because see, you've taken yourself out of the protection of the umbrella of God's authority. So you won't do what mom says, dad said, or any other godly thing. So you've said, I'm not going to listen to any of them. And God says, fine, you're going to deal directly with me then. And I'm going to be the one that brings judgment into your life. What are you doing, preacher? Listen, you say, preacher, what if somebody's an enticer? You know what? They can get to an altar tonight. Remember, I love you. But you're not making it easy. You can get to an altar tonight. By the way, you can go to people in this church afterwards and say, you know what? I've been that person and I'm sorry. I'm not going to do that again. Hey, what's wrong with that idea? Is that an abomination to your thinking? Why would it be? You know what? I haven't been the best friend. I've kind of been that voice that's pulled you in the wrong direction. I'm just going to tell you, I'm not going to be that person anymore, and I'm sorry. And you know what? You ought to listen to your parents, and you ought to listen to the preacher. You ought to do right. I wish best good for you in your life. I don't want to see God's judgment come into your life. Why is that such a crazy thought? That somebody that got that, you know, the devil. Listen, you're a human being too. See, listen, this is the way I look at it. You're an enticer, but you're not. You're a puppet to the enticer. I hate the devil, but I don't hate you. Take a scissors out and cut the string. Stop being the devil's stinking puppet. Okay, you're not thinking those thoughts. You're being given those thoughts. You're not saying those. You didn't come up with those words. These words, as I'll show you, are as old as the scriptures. They're old. They're eons of age. The same things you're saying as an enticer are the same things that were said in the Old Testament, the New Testament. The catchphrases haven't changed one bit. And when you see them, and you think about them, hopefully a light will come on and say, you know what, I didn't think of those words. Those are coming right out of the pit of hell. And so what'd be wrong with that? Young ladies, young men, look at me. I'm going to try to save your life right now. Some of you need to go to your mom and dad tonight. And you need to say, there's some text messages that you need to read that people have been sending me. There's somebody you don't know about, mom, dad. I'm sorry, but you need to know because they've got my heart and they've got my heartstrings and I'm going to do something stupid and I need some help. Oh, my mom and dad would do this. They'd blow their... You know what I think? I think this. I think I know the parents of Blessed Hope Baptist Church enough that you know what? They're going to fight for you. They will fight for you. They will help you because they can't help you if they don't know. Okay, I mean that. I'm going to tell you something. I'll clear everything off my schedule this week. Help anybody that's gotten down into it. I'll help you. I'll spend as many hours as you need. I'll be there for you. But you know what? You're going to have to clean it up the Bible way. And you know what? Listen, you know how many young kids have started down this road really out of ignorance? Just simplicity. And heard a message like this and all of a sudden went, whoa, wait a minute. Good night. Everything the Bible's talking about is happening in my life. Whew, stop. No, I'm not going to end up like Amnon. I'm not going to end up like Eve. I'm not going to end up like Samson. I'm not going to do that. I want to go to I'm going to find the blessings of God. Sorry, folks, okay, time out. Nope, no more, stop. Mom, dad, preacher, folks, help me. Help me. Help me get back on the right path. I'm going to tell you, that's a blessed thing. That's a wise thing to go on and live a life of blessing. I mean, you know what? Just because you're on the road to destruction don't mean you have to get all the way there. Turn around. Repent. Turn around. Get things right. Heavenly Father, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the Word of God and, Lord, the simplicity of the Bible. I pray, Lord, that as we've studied it together, that you'll help us to be wise. And, Lord, it's hard for the young people in this generation because, dear God, they're facing a level of access that most of us never grew up with. And it requires them to be more mature and more responsible and make better decisions earlier than maybe some of us had to. But I pray that they would make it. There's no temptation taking you, such as is common to man. And thank you, Lord, that you promised to make a way of escape, that we can bear it. So, Lord, right now the devil's already whispering in their ears, you've gone too far, you've done too much, you can't come clean. I mean, you know, there's no turning back. You've gone this far, you might as well go all the lies that's been used over and over again through the... I pray, dear God, there'd be a young person that say, you know what, I ain't doing this. I'm not messing my life up to make the devil happy or some of the devil's friends happy. I'm not doing it. And I'm going to get the help that I need. I'm going to get back on a good path. And I'm going to get my sins forgiven and washed clean. And I'm going to get a new start in Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray, dear God, that you would help us to be very sensitive in the days ahead, Lord. That God would not, that the devil would not lure us into being used to say the wrong things, to say something unbiblical, to give unbiblical counsel, to make something appear to be less sinful than the Bible makes it to be, to okay in the minds of some of our young people. God, help please, dear Lord. Lord, no adult in this church that would have influence upon young people, teenagers and children, to try to allure them or entice them or make excuses for sin. Lord, I pray, dear Lord, that you'd give us, please, a very much a carefulness in this area of our life. May we weigh carefully our words, what we say. May we speak the truth. May we speak biblically. Or may we stand where the Bible stands. May we not compromise. May we not give an inch, Lord. And I pray that you'd help us, dear Lord. Be with that young person that's struggling. Help them to know they're in a place where people love them. And dear God, I pray, dear God, that you'd get a hold of their heart, please, Lord. Pray in Jesus' name.